3-5, I'm Tyler Russell, and a conversation I've been wanting to have for a while now that I'm glad we're having now is really about the homeless situation in Laguna. Don Price, the executive director of the Friendship Shelter, is here, and there's been so much conversation lately, more controversy than I can remember in my time in Laguna, and there's a lot of new developments, maybe some changes, but also maybe some falsehoods that people think is going on that I just kind of want to set the record straight. I want you to really tell us what's happening in town, and
absolutely,
there's nobody better than you to do it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, I would say it all started with the election, you know, and maybe before, but certainly a lot of stuff came to light with Peter Blake being elected and with his kind of attack on homelessness in Laguna. So how did you take all of that when it was going on back in November?
Well, I think it's important to remember that homelessness is a emotional issue for people.
Yeah.
And I always look in any time that we find ourselves in a place where it feels like we're in conflict on our issue, to remember that the common ground is that a program and an organization like Friendship Shelter doesn't want homelessness to be in our community either. Our whole job is to end homelessness and to take people off of our streets and resolve their issues and their homelessness. And so I always try to work from that point of common ground and move forward. The other hard thing for Friendship Shelter in a city conversation about this is that we're very proud to have been founded and continue to operate two shelters here in Laguna Beach, but we're a regional organization and we're looking at this problem regionally, looking at all of South County. And so sometimes it can be tempting to get distracted on an important conversation about Main Beach is part of a much larger geographical area that we have taken responsibility for as an organization. And so it's a little bit of a balancing act, but one thing I've learned is having honest conversations like this one, talking with people face to face, trying to find our common ground and what we can work on together, more often than not, will move us forward.
So do you feel that perhaps Lagunans or the city council or whomever is being a little bit too inward thinking or a little bit too selfish when they just consider the homeless problem in Laguna Beach?
No, they're being human and they're reacting like everyone else in Orange County is reacting right now. And I would say nationally, the issue for the everyday person, the homeless issue for them is the homeless person that they see and the homelessness problem that they see. And so I think that's natural and normal. I think that what we're going through a season in our county of looking at it only about our own cities or our own neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And where I've seen success nationally in addressing this problem, it's been regional solutions. It's been people working together across those city lines. When I drive around Southern Orange County, I don't always know when I've left Laguna Niguel and gone into Aliso Viejo.
Right.
In Laguna Beach, you know when you cross that line. And so I think we have maybe a little stronger sense of what our territory is when we live here and work here. But at the same time, if we can look at this as a regional problem, and our county increasingly is, I think we have a much better shot at solving it because we have more resources then.
Okay. So, you know, there's been a lot of conversation lately, like we mentioned, and especially on the toxicity of Facebook and Nextdoor about people saying, you know, I've lived here for 50 years. It's never been this bad.
Right.
The main thing I want to ask you, is there any data, are there any statistics to support that? And do you believe that's also true?
There's definitely an increase in homelessness in California, in Orange County. We know that to be true. And so therefore there is as well, I think, in Laguna Beach. I've been here a little over 10 years. I would hold the summer of 2009 up as a time when the issue was even more in our face and much more troubling.
Okay.
But at the same time, and that's just because you asked specifically if I've ever seen it worse. One person is too many for me, so it's a little hard for me to make those comparisons. Our data show a couple of things that tend to contradict each other. We do summer outreach now. We have a program the last two summers where we've had outreach workers in the Main Beach and downtown area. We encountered more individuals this year than last year in terms of more unique individuals. Mm-hmm. But we didn't encounter them for very long. So we don't know whether we got better at it or whether there actually were more people. We know we encountered a lot of people only once and never saw them again.
Interesting.
We saw no increase in the number of people we were meeting on the street that we had never met in any of our shelter programs. That was a flat number. In fact, it was a slightly down. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't see an increase in that regard, nor do we see an increase out at the ASL emergency shelter in the number of people we were turning away in our lottery system mm-hmm. that we used to use to dole out the beds every night. Those numbers remained flat and actually decreased a little bit. So in terms of people seeking shelter, fewer. In terms of new faces that we had never seen in any of our shelter programs, slightly fewer. In terms of actually raw count of, did I meet that guy and I'd never met him before during this summer outreach season, that number was up.
Yeah. It seems to me that that might be what makes people uncomfortable is the unfamiliar face, because there's 100%. certain homeless individuals that we've seen for years and we know the names of and we're cool with.
Right.
But there's when you see a new face that, you know, maybe you don't agree with.
Yep.
Yeah. That's when it happens.
And I think the other thing that may be exacerbating that is how hard we're working at housing people mm-hmm. and how many people we have taken off a mat on the ASL and into permanent housing. Last year alone, Friendship Shelter housed 100 people into permanent housing. We've taken the number of original users of the ASL down to a handful of maybe 12 or 15 people that are still there who we saw at the very beginning. And so it's human nature, right? I see a new face, and I think that's plus one.
Right.
Because I don't know and notice that the face I saw for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, I'm not seeing anymore. And so I think that's also human nature and adds to the perception that the growth in numbers is larger than it's been.
Yeah.
That said, do we have more people, slightly more people? I think we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it may be not as grossly exaggerated as it's become.
Yeah. And perhaps different people, people we don't know as well, people who don't feel as comfortable, mm-hmm. people who the police don't know as well, and thus people whose symptomatic behaviors from a mental health disorder or an addiction might be more troubling because we don't know how to respond.
Okay. So do you think the Peter Blake-led, quote-unquote, attack on the homeless problem in Laguna is fair?
Well, I don't think. I'm not going to speak about a specific person,
sure.
but I don't think it's fair to other anyone to say that the one group of people, because of the state of their personal economy and ability to find a place to live, makes them less human than you or I.
Okay.
So that's just where I'm at as a service provider and a person who sees these people much more deeply and much more fully than you're going to see walking down the street.
Okay.
Is it fair to be discouraged that we have homelessness in our community? That's absolutely fair to be discouraged by that. Is it fair to be impatient that we haven't solved this problem? It's absolutely fair to be impatient. I'd like to talk to people who are feeling that way about how they can be part of the solution.
Okay. And so what might you say to somebody like that?
We know that housing ends homelessness. And so we have focused both shelters on housing solutions. So the way to help with that is to help us create those different solutions for each person based on their ability. We do an assessment when someone comes into shelter within the first week or so to know exactly what the housing solution is that we should be looking for together. The client is part of that conversation. We may say, we think you need this level of support, and they say, no, I think I can do this, and we're going to help them with their aspirational goal first. So we're focused on shelter with everybody, or on housing with everyone who's in shelter. And we need those opportunities. So we need people who might have units to rent mm-hmm. to let us know what's available. We need people to come alongside us in our shelter. And we just started a day program at the ASL and provide volunteer support for those shelters so that shelter eliminates every barrier to housing that that homeless client feels. And once we can eliminate everything we can control, then we can ask the client to do the work only they can do. Mm-hmm. And so volunteerism, financial support can all help us do that. And then lastly, and most importantly, for the people who are most impactful in terms of their homelessness having an impact on our community are people who are chronically homeless. Those are people who've been homeless a year or more and have a disabling condition. There's a UCI United Way study that says that people who are chronically homeless in Orange County cost on average, in terms of all public resources that go to support them or address them, as well as medical and everything, about $100,000 a year. Wow. Per person. Housing that person, including the cost of the apartment and the supportive services, our caseworkers and people that go and support them and keep them stably housed, cuts that number to 50, mm-hmm. in half. So every 10 chronically homeless people we see on the street is $1 million a year. And housing them, that's $500,000 we get back for our police, for our emergency rooms, for our medical systems that we can take advantage of as citizens as well.
Does Friendship Shelter ever want to be at a point where you actually will pay for apartments for individuals?
We do that now. We have funding from HUD and from the state of California to do permanent supportive housing. One thing people don't know about us, one of the changes we've made sort of quietly, is that we actually have more people in housing than shelter now.
Huh.
We have 87 units of permanent supportive housing across.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, across Southern Orange County, none in Laguna Beach.
Of course.
Laguna Beach locals don't realize that. Hmm. But many of the people in our housing are people you would recognize.
Really?
If I took you to our apartments in Dana Point, you would recognize people that you saw homeless in our community that are now living in their own apartment with supportive services.
Cool.
And so we have 87 of those units. Most of them are scattered site, which is a jargon for we go into a 1,000-unit apartment community owned by a corporate apartment company, and we might rent 5 units, and 2 of them are in unit and building 6, and 3 of them are in building 34. And so we're spending a lot of time and resources driving around to support those people.
Interesting.
Compared to the single apartment building that we master lease through a partner in Dana Point, where we have 16 people in one facility, we have an office there, we have on-site services. That's the model we're trying to grow.
Yeah. It seems like a knee-jerk reaction among the public to, solve the homeless problem, mm-hmm. again, air quotes, is more police, more money for our police personnel, more officers uh-huh. who can interact with them.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the public thinks sending them to jail is the way of getting them out of town, but it seems like we need to kind of shift that thinking in terms of let's not bust them. Let's give them a place to live. That's the solution.
Certainly we think housing is the solution.
Right.
But I will tell you, I spend a lot of time correcting people and telling them to call the police.
Hmm.
I often will hear about terribly disruptive behavior and experiences that people have had in their neighborhoods, in their front yards, downtown. And I say, my goodness, that's a horrible thing to see. What did you do?
Mm-hmm.
Did you call the police? Oh, I didn't want to get anybody in trouble.
Right.
And so what we want people to know is that we consider the police our partners. We work very closely with police in every community where we have housing, and certainly here in Laguna Beach, Jason Ferris is an important partner in the work we do at the ASL and throughout the community. Our outreach team is constantly in communication with the police about what people need. And the police, in an emergency or in a situation where someone's behaviors are dangerous, even if your gut tells you those behaviors are associated with an addiction or a mental illness, if they're dangerous behaviors, they're dangerous behaviors. And part of us helping people who have mental health challenges, who have addiction, is helping them see where the guardrails are,
mm-hmm.
and understanding what the community can live with safely and what they can't, so that they can help make the choices they need to make to address those behaviors. And so I spend a lot of time telling people to call the police. Our police aren't in general arresting people for being mentally ill. They know how to handle those situations. And when those situations are dangerous, we think the police need to be involved for the safety of the client, too.
Do you believe there is a safety concern, particularly at Main Beach right now? Because some parents are mentioning, you know, I don't let my daughter go there after 6 p.m. or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel that that's accurate?
I haven't seen that, and I haven't heard that from our outreach team. Mm-hmm. Most of our folks that we see in the shelters are not dangerous individuals. Obviously, I wouldn't allow staff to work with people who were truly dangerous. The police know the very, very small subset of homeless people in our community who whose behaviors or proclivities are truly dangerous to their fellow neighbors. Most of our folks are trying to get by.
Yeah.
In a story I heard recently from actually a woman who now works for us, who came to us first as a client and was on Main Beach, actually in the parking lot at the ASL and then in the ASL and eventually in our shelter on Coast Highway, now works for us. And just one of the sunniest, smiliest women you're ever going to meet. And she told me that she wasn't like that when she was on the street. She said, I was mean and I would yell at you. And the reason I would do that is because I had been victimized. And I knew if I was the mean, scary homeless lady, that fewer people would mess with me. Mm. And so I think we have to think about the survival instinct of some of the behaviors we're seeing too. But that said, if I'm with a three-year-old child and that three-year-old child is traumatized by the behavior of someone on the street, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. And we want to get that person off the street too.
Yeah. Again, Don Price is here, Executive Director of the Friendship Shelter, and we're talking about homelessness in Laguna Beach and Orange County, where they focus their efforts. You did mention, and something else I wanted to talk about, that the ASL is now open for daytime programming.
Yeah.
So tell us about that and why that decision was made.
So we made a shift at the ASL that we've actually been looking at for a couple of years and advocating for with the city, and that is to remove the lottery at night, first of all. So that people could know night to night where they're going to sleep and know whether they have a bed. So we've changed the changes in the night program have informed the fact that we needed the day program. So now at night, we have a group of people who are enrolled in that program and know they have a bed every night. And we're doing that in 30-day increments and working toward housing with that group of 40 people. And as people go into housing out of that group, we will bring more people in. That creates a couple of issues. First of all, very important to our volunteers that provide the evening meals at the ASL and our advocate community who've been strong partners for us is that everyone has somewhere they can go to take a shower, to get at least one meal a day and to get some services. And so by opening from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in a day program setting, we're able to be that resource still for people who aren't enrolled in the overnight program. But by closing at 1, we give folks time to access the growing number of shelter beds elsewhere in Orange County. When you're having a lottery at 7:30 and handing someone a bus pass, there's not much chance they're going to make it to a shelter bed that night.
Yeah.
When you're having a day program and helping one take a shower, do a laundry, talk to a housing coordinator about maybe looking at a housing solution, and at 1 o'clock handing them a bus pass, there's a real shot to get to a shelter bed that night. And that's our goal. We want people sleeping in shelter.
Got it.
Yeah.
So has that actually maybe kept our streets and our beaches more empty at night now? Because I would assume once they're turned away from the ASL and the former lottery program, they might just go sleep on the beach or something.
I think that did happen. And that certainly, we believe that will happen. The program is new. We opened it on February 4th. So it's 4 weeks old today. We don't know yet what the result is, but that was our goal and our belief. So we're cautiously optimistic that we're certainly giving our homeless neighbors every opportunity to find a safe shelter bed to sleep in at night.
Got it. When a homeless individual comes to Laguna, are they doing so because they know there are services here or just because it's nice weather, nice beaches, nice place to hang out? A little bit of both, maybe?
Yeah. We ask that question.
Yeah.
And we normally get that it's a nice place to be.
Yeah.
That's the plurality of the answers we get. we are proud of our shelter, and occasionally someone will hear it's a good shelter. But I don't think anybody's getting on a bus from New Jersey and saying, I heard there's an awesome shelter in Laguna Beach.
Sure.
And so, or from Santa Ana for that matter. I think a good benchmark or barometer for that is when the riverbed situation happened in Santa Ana mm-hmm. and Orange, and the riverbed encampment was closed. As many as 1,000 people were displaced. We had a single referral. One person referred to the ASL during that whole period.
Wow.
And that was someone who had family here in Laguna Beach.
Hmm.
So it was a very reasonable referral. But we didn't have, you know, if people were coming for services at that point, we would have had, you know, hundreds of people
right.
potentially heading our way. We did not see that influx.
Yeah, I think maybe people think there's this word of mouth about Laguna's yeah. homelessness situation mm-hmm. and, you know, one homeless mm-hmm. guy is calling another who calls his friend who
yeah.
finds out that this is the place to be, but
yeah.
it doesn't seem like that's occurring.
We didn't think it ever occurred. We didn't have any evidence that it ever occurred. But look, the difference between 3 years ago and today, we were it 3 years ago. We were the only emergency shelter that you could walk up to and use in all of Orange County year-round.
Mm-hmm.
The armories during the winter, but other than that, we were it. Today, there's new shelter beds in Santa Ana, two new shelters in Santa Ana. Anaheim is opening another one. They have bridges already. Tustin is opening one, Costa Mesa. There is a much wider shelter network that is available to folks who need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many more beds do some of those bigger cities have than what we have in Laguna?
You know, as recently as last summer, I was able to say that Laguna Beach had more shelter beds per capita than any city in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that math recently.
Yeah.
I would guess that Santa Ana is getting close to surpassing, but Santa Ana is a pretty big city. They added 200, I believe, beds, 700 somewhere else. We're over 1,000 shelter beds now, and we were at 45.
Got it.
So that's a big change.
Wow, it is huge.
Yeah.
And are the people that are staying at the Friendship Shelter house itself,
okay.
are they one step above, maybe closer to permanent housing?
Only in the sense of their what looks to be on their immediate horizon. So we have shifted that program as well. Both programs are housing focused. The bridge housing, that program is now our bridge housing program. And that word bridge is intentional. It's a bridge between the assessment process and actually receiving housing. So we tend to get folks there who have been working on a housing plan prior to coming in, or who have a sort of very obvious housing option as they come in. In terms of our clientele in both programs, it's not as if we're creaming and saying, well, you're functioning at a higher level, so you go to this program, mm-hmm. and if you're functioning at a lower level, you stay here. That no longer occurs, nor does it need to, because both programs are really capable of working with anyone, and so we keep that threshold low. At the same time, I think there's a perception that we've totally turned our back on people who don't have chronic homelessness. And the fact is that last year, more than half of the people that we housed went to private market housing that they paid for themselves with no subsidy and no ongoing supportive services. Mm. So we continue to work with that group that I think we marketed too heavily as our only client for a while. We continue to serve that group. We've always served people with mental illness and chronic homelessness. We've made some intentional changes in our program to be more open to that group, but we still serve that wide swath of people.
When your outreach folks, or maybe Jason Ferris, uh-huh. encounter an individual who they notice is here more than a couple days, mm-hmm. and maybe that person is new to town,
mm-hmm.
do you try to approach them about the services we have?
Well, the first question we ask a new person is where they slept safely last time,
mm-hmm.
and whether they can go back.
Okay.
So our first conversation is what we call a diversion conversation. We love our shelters. We think they do great work. We want to keep as many people out of that system as we can by pushing them back into the housing that they had. Mm-hmm. So if I met you on the street and I asked you where you slept last, and maybe you had a relationship that broke up and so you lost your housing because of that, I might talk about friends that you have. It maybe you had a fight with your roommate, and I can talk to you about, well, maybe what would happen if you got back to current on
play
your,
therapist
on your
first
rent.
And foremost.
Yes,
yeah,
more
bit.
Problem solver.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people have lost their housing over conflict, often over economics. And if we can throw a little money at a problem and say, if you got back to current on your rent with your roommate, would your roommate let you back? If you offered to your brother to pay the utilities, could you live with your brother? We always have that problem-solving conversation first. So that's the first thing we would do. We would try to have an understanding of what is going on in terms of what the barriers are going to be to housing, and then determine from there whether someone is a good candidate for shelter, or whether they might be a candidate for something we call rapid rehousing, where we meet people who are living in their cars and have a job. Someone like that maybe doesn't need to come into shelter. Someone like that maybe needs first and last month's rent, and is able to pay their rent once that's taken care of. Maybe needs help finding an apartment, an affordable unit. Maybe needs help shifting their thinking from an apartment to a room to rent. That's another conversation we have a lot, where someone has that magical thought of the one-bedroom apartment, and we may need to reality check that.
Yeah.
So
it's not your goal to, at first, when you find somebody new in Laguna, to direct them right to the shelter because it's full. So you want to explore all other options first.
Even if it wasn't full, we want to reserve those shelter beds for people who really, truly have no other options. So we're going to have that problem-solving discussion to try to get folks on their way if we can. You know, one of our outreach workers last summer met a young man who had been in a sober living facility in another city, ended up in Maine Beach, kicked out, I think I can't remember the story with the sober living facility, but he was embarrassed to go home. Young man who had been living with family. Outreach worker had a conversation with him. There was funding. The city of Laguna Beach has funding for someone like that to take a bus or even a plane home. But he was reluctant. And a silly thing became this problem-solving sort of fulcrum that shifted that. And that was, this guy was embarrassed to call his mom, embarrassed to talk to his mom, and then very ashamed of his appearance. And so paying for a haircut, believe it or not, was the last piece that was able to help that person get on a bus and go back home.
Interesting.
Now, I'm not suggesting that we just need to give everybody haircuts.
Sure.
But that's the kind of problem solving we do.
Each one is individual.
Everything is different. Yeah, every time. Yep.
I want to talk about the Starbucks in downtown Laguna.
Okay.
Because I've noticed it just seems to be a hot spot, because Starbucks allows you to use the restroom. Mm-hmm. It the patio is a pretty fair use gathering space for anybody. And I've also noticed, you know, homeless individuals come in and they'll give them water, or they'll, I mean, Starbucks is really cool about that. But a lot of residents are like, I don't go to that Starbucks anymore. So, I mean, what would you say to a local person who has that attitude?
Well, I haven't experienced what you're talking about. So I'm sort of just using my imagination.
Okay.
Look, I would say this, some of the same things I've said. You know, if somebody is disruptive and breaking the law or dangerous, we need to call the police. If the situation is unsanitary or troubling in the sense of health, then maybe a discussion with the owner there of, you know, this isn't safe in terms from a health standpoint. If someone's just sitting in front of a business and looking like they have less money than most of us, then I would suggest looking them in the eye and maybe trying to connect with them. And so there's a kind of a wide range there. Starbucks is a nationally a pretty open company to people that are less fortunate, and I appreciate that about them. But at the same time, if and the other thing I would say, if someone looks like they need help, call the police or call us, and mm-hmm. we'll send an outreach worker to go and take a look and see what we can do. Sometimes I heard the actor Richard Gere talk once about a movie he did where he played a homeless person, and he spent the day filming in front of a Starbucks with the camera across the street through a window so people couldn't see the camera. And he spent the day in front of his neighbor, his own neighborhood Starbucks, filming as a homeless man, and not a lot of makeup or things. And it's Richard Gere with those
right.
blue eyes.
Yeah.
No one recognized him all
wow.
day. And he said,
nobody took the time to really look him in the eye.
Nobody yeah. really looked. And there's something pretty special about really looking, saying hello. And if that's not a safe place to have those kinds of engagements and start challenging your own feelings about people, come volunteer with us. Come serve a meal and have that experience in a little bit more of a controlled environment. And it may help change a little bit how you look at this. But at the same time, it's unacceptable that someone has to sit in front of a Starbucks all day that doesn't have somewhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working to change that first yeah. and foremost.
Yeah. Very well said, all of that. There's one other particular situation I want to talk about that drew a lot of Orange County news this past year, and that's the woman in the wheelchair that sits on Forest,
yeah.
whose son, we believe, drops her off and also ran for city council in Irvine. So what's the latest on that whole situation?
I know about as much about that as
okay.
you do. I've read the articles.
Yeah.
We've never engaged with that
okay.
any of those individuals. I think panhandling in general is a situation that sits, you know, if there's a Venn diagram, there's definitely an overlap between homelessness and panhandling.
Sure.
But not everyone who panhandles is homeless, and certainly not every homeless person panhandles. And so that's a very unfortunate situation. I have difficulties understanding why that's not an elder abuse situation,
yeah.
but I'm not an expert in that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one drew a lot of news trucks.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've mentioned a lot of ways in which we can support Friendship Shelter mm-hmm. and a lot of ways that we personally can maybe alter our viewpoint or
yeah.
open our eyes to what's happening in town. And mm-hmm. maybe, I mean, for me, I'm hearing be less aggressive, be less attackative about mm-hmm. the situation and really think about, you know, the human nature of this and the fact that they just have less money than we do. I mean, I think that's a really important thing you said.
Yeah. I think... And remember that none of us want anyone to be homeless.
And,
right. and if you don't want people to be homeless because it's offensive to you, come talk to me. Let's solve it together.
Yeah.
If you don't want people to be homeless because you feel it's dangerous, come talk to me. Let's solve it together. There's lots of ways to get into this conversation. I think when we're in the conversation and yelling at each other instead of about the problem,
mm-hmm.
It's somewhat wasted time.
Yeah. And you just mentioned the Friendship Shelter can be called. An outreach person can be sent,
yep.
you know, in lieu of calling the police if you feel that
yeah.
maybe nothing criminal is happening,
right.
but you just want to check on somebody.
Yeah. And I get those calls. I get, you know, I'm worried about this guy. And
mm-hmm.
what do you know?
Mm-hmm.
The fact is we live in America. People have rights. If they tell us they don't want our help, all we can do is keep checking in.
Yeah.
And if they're not breaking the law, they have that right to be on that bench the same as you and I do.
Yeah.
But we really do want to check in. And our folks are pretty good at long-term engagement over time. And we've got some people... I didn't mention, we have 3 rooms in the Friendship Shelter now, the Coast Highway facility, 3 single rooms specifically for people who really resisted any services and sort of longtime homeless people that were so anxious about anybody engaging with them. And so they're private rooms where they can take their time to engage with us on a housing solution. And so we have 3 extremely vulnerable people that live in that shelter and are working very slowly with us toward their housing solution. And so we try to be creative and think about, like I said, we're problem solvers. So we're trying to look at what's the gap and how do we fill it? And a couple of years ago, we saw that as a gap, that we had some people who
yeah.
were too afraid
yeah.
to come into shelter.
It seems like, based on kind of what you mentioned, almost everybody we recognize that we've seen for years in mm-hmm. Laguna, we don't know where they sleep at night, but
right.
seems like you do. almost all of them.
We know where a lot of them sleep.
Yeah.
And if we don't know, I bet you Officer Ferris knows.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of a small town.
Right.
We really do take ownership with folks. But I think the flip side of that, as we talked about at the beginning, the people I saw on the street 5 years ago. I know a great number of them are now in housing. And so I'm not seeing as many familiar faces. I'm seeing new faces. And that feels like more. In some cases it is. But it also is just a change in the population and doesn't feel as familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, finally, I know you mentioned there are some ways to get involved with Friendship Shelter.
Sure.
You can serve food. You can volunteer. So yep. Where should somebody start with that?
So I would start with our website. Our website is just an awesome resource. There's a tab to click to look at what events are coming up. There's a tab to click with all sorts of a growing number of information. There's a map of all our sites. I mentioned all that housing. You can see where all that housing is. You can read... we've links to the best thinking about homeless services. And then there's a volunteer tab where you can let us know you're interested in getting involved in volunteering. And someone will get back to you and talk with you about what feels right to you. And we can put our opportunities out there. A lot of it has to do with meals and supplies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dawn Price, Executive Director of the Friendship Shelter, kind enough to share her time with us today to talk about this, this issue in Laguna and about, you know, its status in town right now. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. It's KX 93.5.